ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 31, Text number 10, 4.31.10. Kim janma bhi sri bhirveha, Kim?
Kim?
What is the use?
What is the use?
Janmavi?
Janmavi.
Of birds?
Of birds.
Tribhi?
Three.
Va?
Va.
Or?
Iha?
Iha. In this world?
In this world.
Saukara? By semen. Savitra?
Savitra.
By initiation?
By initiation.
Yaknikahi?
Yaknikahi.
By becoming a perfect Brahmana?
By becoming a perfect Brahmana.
Karmavi?
By activities,
va, o, trai, in the Vedas, proktai, instructed, pumsa, of a human being, api, even, vibhuda, of the demigods, ayusha, with a duration of life. Translation and book by His Divine Grace. A civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a pure father and mother, and this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by their spiritual master, and this birth is called Savitra. The third birth, called Yajnika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for attaining such births, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. It is a very long translation. In Prabhupada writes a very long book for the stuff. It actually goes over 2.5 pages. So in order to absorb what Prabhupada writes in the book, because it's very long, let's just break down the verse a little bit, and then we can just see if we can follow the thread of Prabhupada's amazing writing here. So I'll just break down the Sanskrit again. Kim janma bhi sribhir veha. So kim janma. Janma means birth, and tribhir veha. Tri means three. So here, we can see in the Sanskrit itself that it's talking about three kinds of birth. So just speak that thread. It's the first point. Three types of birth. Kim janma bhi sribhir veha. And what are those three kinds of births? First is Saukara, second is Savitra, and third is Yajnikahi. So that's the second line. Saukara, Savitra, Yajnikahi. Three types of births, and they are Saukara, Savitra, and Yajnikahi. And the next point. Karma bhir patrai prokta. Karma bhir. Then Prabhupada will talk about karma, the activities. So birth and then activities. And then the last line. Pumso bhi budha yusa. Ayush means age or the duration of life. So three points are here. Three types of birth. So birth, then activities, karma, and then Ayush, which is your lifespan. Yeah? So birth, activities, and life. And then let's read the translation again to capture that, and then the Bhagavad. A civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a female father and mother, and this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by a spiritual master, and this birth is called Savitra. The third birth, called Yajnika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for attaining such births, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane and spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant to satisfy the Lord. Let's see the translation. It's a very long book. Very long book. The word Sakara Janma means taking birth by seminal discharge. Animals can take birth in this way too. However, a human being can be reformed from the Sakara Janma as recommended in the Vedic civilization. Before the birth takes place, or before father and mother unite, there is a ceremony called Garbhadhana Samskar, which must be adopted. The Garbhadhana Samskar is especially recommended for higher castes, especially the Brahmana caste. It is said in the Shastras that if the Garbhadhana Samskar is not practiced among the higher caste, the entire family becomes Sudra. It is also stated in this age of Kali, everyone is Sudra due to the absence of Garbhadhana Samskar. This is the Vedic system. According to the Pancharatrika system, however, even though one is a Sudra due to the absence of Garbhadhana Samskar, if a person has but a little tendency to become Krishna conscious, he should be given the chance to elevate himself to the transcendental platform of devotional service. Our Krishna consciousness movement adopts this Pancharatrika vidhi as advised by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who says, Yata Kanchana Tamyati Kamshayam Rasa Vidhanata Tata Diksha Vidhanena Dvijatvam Jayate Nirnam. As bare metal, when mixed with mercury, is transformed to gold, a person, even though not golden piva, can be transformed into a brahmana or dvija simply by the initiation process. Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.12. Thus, if one is initiated by a proper person, he can be accepted as twice born immediately. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore offer the student his best initiation and allow him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly and following the regulative principles, one becomes qualified to be initiated as a Brahmana. Because unless one is qualified Brahmana, he cannot be allowed to worship Lord Vishnu. This is called Yajnika Janma. In our Krishna consciousness society, unless one is twice initiated, first by chanting Hare Krishna and second by Gayatri Mantra, he is not allowed to enter the kitchen or deity room to execute duties. However, when one is elevated to the platform on which he can worship the deity, his previous birth does not matter. Chandalopi dvija sresto hari bhakti parayana hari bhakti vihinascha dvijopi svapachadhama. Even if one is born in the family of a chandal, if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes the best of brahmanas. But even a brahmana who is devoid of devotional service is on the level of the lowest yog eater. If a person is advanced in devotional service, it does not matter whether he is born as a Chandala family, he becomes purified, as Prahlad Maharaj said. Viparat Visat Guna Yutat Aravinda Namha Pada Ravinda Vimukhat Prapacham Varistham Bhagavatam 7.9.10. Even if one is a Brahmana and is qualified with all the mystical qualifications, he is considered degraded if he is averse to worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if a person is attached to the service of the Lord, he becomes glorified even if he is born of a Chandala family. Indeed, such a Chandala can deliver not only himself, but all his family predecessors. Without devotional service, even a proud Brahmana cannot deliver himself, and what we speak of his family. In many instances in the Shastras, it is seen that even a Brahmana has become a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Navichar, or even non-Brahmana. And there are many instances of ones being born as a Kshatriya or Vaishya, or even lower And in the 18th year, attaining elevation to the Brahmanical platform by the process of initiation. Therefore, Narad Muni says, Yasyaya lakshanam proktam pumso varnabhivyanchakam yat anyatrapi drishyeta tatteneva vinirvishet. Bhagavatam 7.11.35. It is not a fact that because one is born in a Brahmana family, he is automatically a Brahmana. He has a better chance to become a Brahmana. But unless he meets all the Brahmanical qualifications, he cannot be accepted as such. On the other hand, if the Brahmanical qualifications are found in a person of a Sudra, he should immediately be accepted as a Brahmana. To substantiate this, there are many quotations from Bhagavatam, Mahabharat, Bhagavad Samhita and the Pancharatra, as well as many other scriptures. As far as the division of life of demigods concerning God Brahma, it is said, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahayat Brahmano Vidhu Ratri Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vidhu Jalam Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita 8.17. The division of one day of Brahma is 1000 times greater than the four yugas, aggregating 4,320,000 years. Similarly, Brahma's one night. Brahma lives for 100 years of such days and nights. The word Vibhudha Yusa indicates that even if one gets a long lifespan, his lifespan is useless if he is not a devotee. A living entity is the eternal servitor of Lord, Supreme Lord, and unless he comes to the platform of devotional service, his lifespan, good work, glorious activities and everything else are null and void. Told me some of Om Jnanati Vilandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavani Paschatyade Santaline Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama we'll just see how this fits into the episode, in the current episode of Bhagavatam, and then we'll Prabhupada wrote a very brilliant and long purport, and we'll just try to bring up some points from the purport. If you can remember, from what we have read, you can chip in as we go, but otherwise I noted some down, so we can have a quick recap of what you know, a lot of things there to digest. So this particular section of Bhagavatam, Maitreya Muni, as we know, is describing the activities of the Prachetas, and that was quite elaborately discussed in the previous chapter, chapter 30. In chapter 31 happens to be also, I think, the last chapter of Canto 4. So we might get into Canto 5 very soon. So if you recall, even two chapters before, chapter 28 and chapter 29, when Lord gave darshan to the Prachetas, after the Prachetas had performed their austerity for 10,000 years underwater, so when Lord gave them their darshan, his darshan, then he granted Prachetas some benedictions. He gave them bhakti as well as he gave them material opulence. And actually told the Prachetas that you can go and enjoy the material facilities that I am giving it to you and continue your bhakti. And the Lord also told them or warned them that a point of time will come when you will actually get disgusted with the material opulence. And you will relinquish all of that and then intensify your bhakti. So that's the discussion that evolved that we saw between Lord and the Prachetas, and the Lord gave the darshan. So here we see that in chapter 31, that Lord's foretelling of that, the fact that the Prachetas will get disgusted with the material opulence, comes to fruition. We can see that the Prachetas, having progenitor, are fed up of material enjoyment, and they renounce their kingdom, a very, very opulent kingdom, and then go to the forest to intensify their Krishna consciousness. And at that point in time, Narad Muni appears to them or comes in front of them and starts, if I can use the word, reminding maybe, you know, about their duties, about what is bhakti, and so on and so forth, so that they can, you know, go back to Godhead as well. So, in this particular section of Bhagavatam, from the last verse, maybe the one before that, in any case, in the last few verses, Narad Muni starts to enlighten the Prachetas again about bhakti. And this is the beauty of bhakti. You know, that bhakti leads to bhakti. Chanting begets chanting, bhakti leads to more bhakti. So the Prachetas, you know, after doing the austerities, saw Lord Vishnu and got the benediction, and then they did bhakti, and then they did their progenation, so on and so forth. And now, you know, again being spoken about bhakti by Narad Muni. So bhakti never stops. We just keep talking about Krishna Tatha at any point in time. So Narad Muni starts enlightening them about bhakti again. In this particular text itself, you know, which we briefly discussed already, is that Narad Muni is telling them about three things. Firstly, the three types of janma. You know, and we'll talk about those three types of janma, which Prabhupada talks very elaborately in his books. And then secondly, about the activities. And thirdly, about the lifespan. And Narad Muni is saying in this verse and also the next one, which we will not cover today, but just as a prelude, that all these activities are useless unless they are dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. We can have a very, very opulent, we can have a very prestigious birth, and conversely, we can have a very degraded birth. We can have, you know, any kind of activities, we can have any duration of lifespan. All of this is useless unless it is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. Now, so that's the gist of this particular verse. Now, what does Prabhupada write then? You know, how does he start? So, Prabhupada starts his purport by explaining the definition of Saukara Janma. No? And as we already have, that Saukara Janma means that Janma, that is our biological birth from our biological mother and our biological father, which happens through the discharge of the semen from the father to the mother. And Prabhupada then says that even the animals are also born, you know, through this process of a biological mother and a biological father. But the animals do not progress to any higher birth. But the human beings can be reformed. Then Prabhupada says that even... So at the moment he's not talking about somebody who has taken a janma in a brahminical family. He's just talking about somebody who has taken a janma in a degraded family, you know, in as a saukara janma. So even Prabhupada is saying that if somebody has taken, you know, a very lower birth, he can be reformed. How? Firstly, he talks about the process of Garbhadhana Sanskar. Now that we are quite familiar with, you know, through the process of Garbhadhana Sanskar. Prabhupada said that a man and mother and father, or the man and woman, should chant 50 rounds of Hare Krishna, at least 50 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before they unite for the purpose of progeny. So this is the proactive process. The proactive process is mother and father, and husband and wife chanting before they, you know, invite a soul in the womb of the mother. And the reactive process is also there, which we will talk about very soon. So then Prabhupada gives the example that that this Garbhadhana Samskar was actually recommended in the Vedas for the higher caste, for the Brahmanas. And then he says that if the Brahmanas don't follow this Garbhadhana Samskar, then actually they are degraded, they are not Brahma, they are actually Sudras. And then Prabhupada says that, by the way, in Kali Yuga, everybody is Sudra. No? Kalo Sudra Sambhava. So then, you know, who is supposed to be doing this Garbhadhana Samskar? Then Prabhupada says that everybody should do the Garbhadhana Samskar before, you know, progenating, you know, chanting 50 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before the husband and the wife unite. And then Prabhupada gives the analogy of a bell metal. Remember that analogy? The bell metal, Prabhupada says, when it is mixed, I think the word he used, mixed with mercury, it becomes gold. So bell metal is not pure, but when mixed with mercury, it becomes gold. So similarly, that if somebody is born in a lower family, in a lower birth, if he is induced with Krishna consciousness, he can also become pure like a gold. You know? He can be purified through the process of Krishna consciousness. So that's the first birth, you know? The Saukara Janma, through our biological parents. And we can purify ourselves if we are not born in a higher family through the process of, at least if the parents have done Garbhadhana Samskara. Now that's the reactive process, you know, if parents have not done that, and, you know, a child is attracted to the womb, you know, which is Lord Shiva has put them into the womb of the mother because, you know, they were doing, you know, probably progenating, you know, over on Friday night, coming back, you know, from the pub and all that. So how, what is their situation? What is their solution? Then Prabhupada talks about Savitra Janma, no? Which we call, you know, in our terminology is known as the first initiation, Harinam Bhiksha. Yeah? We take the first initiation. So Prabhupada says, you know, that individual person can take Savitra Janma, which is first initiation, and he continues, he has chanted Hare Krishna Mahamantra for a certain time before initiation, continues to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra after initiation to gradually purify more and more. So that's Savitra Janma. Then the third one is Yajnika Janma. Yajna, of course, we know means sacrifice. So this Janma is given by the spiritual master as the second initiation, or which we call as Brahman initiation. Yeah. So the second initiation happens. And at this point in time, Prabhupada says that after the second initiation, we continue to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but we also chant the Gayatri Mantra. Those who are Brahmanas chant the Gayatri Mantra. And this therefore qualifies, you know, the individual to do bhoga, you know, cooking bhoga for the Lord, as well as, you know, going on the altar to do pujari service. So, three types of janma: Sautra Janma, Savitra Janma, and then Yajnika Janma. The biological birth, the first initiation, and then the second initiation. Then Prabhupada wrote, no, that the previous birth does not matter. If one is born in a very loving family, he can be purified. He repeated that point. And then Prabhupada said that conversely, if one is born in a Brahmana family, but his activities are not of a Brahmanical quality, then he is as good as a Sudra. So from both viewpoints, eh, Prabhupada balanced that all. And then Prabhupada said that Janma, the higher caste birth, you know, being a Brahmana, is not by birth. It is by our activities. That we have also discussed many times from Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvarnamaya system, guna karma, vivagasha. Krishna is saying, you know, that our activities decide, you know, what kind of varna we are in rather than our birth. But Prabhupada then says that actually if we are born in a Brahmana family, no doubt that it is conducive to becoming a good Brahmana, because the facilities are there, you know, that's just common sense. Now, so much about, you know, the Janma. You know, remember, I said there are three things in this particular place: the Janma, the activity, and the lifespan. You know? So Janma and the activity we have discussed together. Now we'll talk about the lifespan shortly. But before that, I just wanted to draw some more references about the type of birds and how one can be purified from elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah? So recently we have been studying Canto 2, so I just want to draw some points from there. In Canto 2, you know, when Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami this famous question of, you know, what is the duty of someone who is about to die, especially of someone, what is the duty of someone in any point in time, especially of someone who is about to die. So in response to that question, when Sukadeva Goswami starts answering, in Canto 2 of Bhagavatam, we see the famous prayers from Sukadeva Goswami. Bhagavatam has got several prayers at many sections of Bhagavatam. Canto 2 has got those prayers from Sukadeva Goswami. So there Sukadeva Goswami says, you know, this famous line, the Kirata Hundara Puninda Pulaksha, that if somebody is born, there actually glorifies, you know, the Lord by saying, my Lord is so sweet, you know, it's so benevolent, that he not only takes care of the jnanis, the karmis, the yogis, you know, and of course devotees, but he is so sweet that actually he can also purify those who are born in a family that is very sinful, as well as those who are very sinful in themselves. Because there can be cases when somebody is born in a sinful family, but he is not sinful. Prahlad Maharaj is an example, which Prabhupada also quotes. You know? So there can be a Vibhishan in Lanka. But here, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that if, you know, my Lord is so sweet that if somebody is so degraded, you know, very, very sinful, even he can be purified through the process of Krishna consciousness. And how does that happen? How does, you know, somebody who is so sinful eventually get purified? There is one important thing, and that is devotee association. If we can give devotee association to anybody, you know, on the street, Harinam, you know, in Bhakti Vrikshas, elsewhere, then, you know, their Krishna consciousness starts from that point in time. And, you know, the higher our purification, the quicker we can purify them. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Kwa. If a pure devotee, like Prabhupada, you know, if he was to mingle, you know, or give his mercy, you know, to those who were most degraded, they can be deeply purified within months. You know. For us or for me, you know, it may take 3 years or 4 years, you know, for somebody to start, you know, getting them to chant 16 rounds, you know, to come to temple and all that because of my lack of purification. But the higher the purification, the quicker we can purify. And recently, a lot of online lectures are going on, virtual Krishna Katha, you know. And the one that I generally get hooked to is, you know, his great Anandra Prabhu. And recently I saw, you know, during the first COVID time, you know, first phase of COVID, in March, April, you know, when His Grace Anandra Prabhu was, you know, lecturing online, and a lot of Bhakti Riksha audience was there. Several Bhakti Riksha from Melbourne was his audience. And he used to get 200 logins, you know, in one time. Just 200 logins. That means generally husband and wife, that's 400 people listening at one time. And it was so amazing to see how quickly, you know, with his mesmerizing lectures and his own purification, he could get a lot of Bhakti Riksha members to chant 64 rounds. I struggled to get people to chant 16 rounds, you know, in 2 years or 3 years. Prabhuji could get people to chant 64 rounds, very, very newcomers to Krishna consciousness in no time. Why? Because of his sadhana, because of his, you know, the depth of his preaching, the depth of his own purification. So there is the potency. So the point here is, you know, that Prabhupada is saying, yes, we can give Krishna consciousness to anybody, but how much we can give it to them also depends on how much we have. We can only give them what we have, yeah? But as if we are the smallest sparrows, then we fly that much and preach. And if you are like the big Garuda, you know, then we preach that much, Prabhupada also said. So it just depends. We still preach, regardless of where we are. So that's about the birth and the purification. Then we also saw, you know, that the best covers lifespan. And there Prabhupada then began writing about the lifespan of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma's lifespan is very big, a big number. 4.320 million years only is his one day only, not even one night. And then you multiply it by 100. So a big number according to our human tiny calculation, you know, that we see 100 years maximum. Somebody reaches 100 years, then they start coming on TV. Happy birthday, you know, all those things happen. 100 years is a long time for us. So anyway, so Prabhupada writes, you know, that what is the point in having a long lifespan if that lifespan is not utilized in Krishna consciousness? What's the point? And then again, I'll draw some more references, you know, from elsewhere in Bhagavatam. In the same section, when Maharaj Parikshit asks the question to Sukhdev Goswami, you know, that what is the duty of someone who is about to die? Then amongst all the other, you know, hearing, chanting, you know, Sukhdev Goswami says, Eta nirvidya manana, ichatam akuto bhayam, yogi nam nirpanirinitam, harinanam anukirtanam, famous verse, you know, so harinanam anukirtanam, that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is this, you know, is the solution for anybody at any point in time. That's their duty. So there, we know that Sukhdev Goswami is enlightening Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit is, let's say, his main audience, but the audience is pretty big. There's many people sitting in that audience. So when Sukhdev Goswami gives this solution, that Hare Nam Anukirtanam is the duty of anybody at any point in time, Maharaj Parikshit could have thought, and keep in mind we are talking about the importance of time, yeah? That's our context at the moment. Maharaj Parikshit could have thought that I've actually got only 7 days left, because, you know, I'll be annihilated after 7 days by that snake bird. So is 7 days enough to actually, you know, implement the solution that you are giving of, you know, hearing and remembering and chanting the holy names of the Lord? Is it enough? So there Sukhdev Goswami quotes the example of Katvanga Maharaj. That Katvanga Maharaj purified himself in one muhurta. And one muhurta happens to be, I think, very small time, yeah? Less than a minute, 40 seconds or something. Something like that? Oh, yeah, very small. Prabhupada writes, actually in the Melbourne temple only when he was lecturing, he gave this example as well about Katvanga Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, that Katvanga Maharaj purified himself in one moment, sitting here in this temple, in Melbourne temple, yeah? We had different centers before as well. So Prabhupada said that, you know, we can purify ourselves in one moment. So what to speak of Parikshit Maharaj, who had 7 days? No? And what to speak about, you know, Brahma, Lord Brahma, who has got, you know, lifespan of a very big number. And then to implement that for us, we don't know our lifespan. It can finish tomorrow, it can finish now, it can, sitting here, it can finish next day, it can finish anytime. So we also don't know our lifespan, no? Whether it's small or big. But we know we probably don't last more than 100 years, now let's say, no, approximation. 100 years, especially during, you know, all this current calamity of, you know, COVID, God knows who survives only. So, you know, the point is, you know, that the time has to be used wisely. Otherwise, what's the time? Now, in the same section of the Bhagavatam, when Sanatha Rishi is inspiring Sukadeva Goswami, you know, to speak more and more about Krishna Katha, then Sanatha Rishi also quotes, you know, talks about the importance of time. Are you healthy? No, that verse comes there that every rising and setting of the sun, no, a person is approaching, getting closer to death. So then Sanatha Rishi says, you know, that what is the point in having any time to us, with us, if it is not spent in Krishna consciousness? Because every rising and setting of the sun, we are getting closer and closer to death. And then Sanatha Rishi goes on to give three more examples about the importance of time, three more analogies. Firstly, he says, you know, that if, and he talks mainly about Grihamedis, and the Karmis, he says, you know, that if somebody wants to just live for the sake of living, if somebody wants to just, I'll give the three examples, yeah, one by one. If somebody wants to live just for the sake of living, then what is the point in having a human body? Because the human body is meant for something else. It is meant for Krishna consciousness. No? But if somebody just wants to live, then what is the point in having a human body? You might as well go and get a body of a tree. Why? Because trees are known to live for long time. Thousands of years they can live. So if just for living, then might as well be a tree. Second example. If you just want to live for the purpose of breathing, which is kind of similar thing, yeah? But so sweetness, no? When he brings out different ways of saying the same thing. If you just want to live like a tree. But if you just want to live to breathe heavily, which is also living only, but if you just want to live for the sake of breathing, then you might as well become a bellow. You know what a bellow is? Bellow is that thing, you know, that generally the goldsmiths, you know, and blacksmiths, you know, they will use to blow air into the flame, so that the flame gets more oxygen and, you know, inflames more. So like that bellow. Now we have, of course, got sophisticated bellows in our machinery, yeah, like that. So bellow. So you might just, because bellow, when you press that air to get oxygen into the fire to burn, you know, that makes a lot of kind of breathing sound, you know. Like that, you know. So if you just want to breathe, that might as well be a bellow. So then thirdly, he says, if you want to just live for the purpose of, you know, procreation, you know, or not even procreation, if you just want to live for the purpose of sexual indulgence, you know, then you might as well be a beast. Because beasts are known, you know, for indulging with the opposite sex, you know, as much as they want, you know. So he says, you might as well be a beast. So if you just want to live for the sake of living, be a tree. If you just want to live for the sake of breathing, be a bellow. If you just want to live for the sake of sexual indulgence, you might as well be a beast. Don't become a human being. Don't waste this human body. So much lessons for us. He said, our time is limited. And in that, how do we maximize our Krishna consciousness? And in that section, again, Prabhupada writes that time, brilliant line, yeah? If you can memorize it. Time, which is wasted, cannot be compensated even with gold. Time which is wasted cannot be compensated even with gold. So this is the golden rule. The time that is wasted cannot be compensated even with gold. So therefore, you know, utilizing our time appropriately in Krishna consciousness is, of course, you know, the main thing that I want to draw out with all these examples. You know, sometimes, now we say, you know, that, you know, we are just passing the time. I mean, time passer, you know, in English. We are just passing the time. Or time out. No? Or idle time. Or downtime. So in the office we will say, you know, there is not too much work, there is downtime. The system is down. So there is so much, you know, things about wasting the time. Downtime, idle time, time pass. Reading Times of India. No? Times of this. No? So much times about times. The only thing that is important is the pastime. The pastime of the world. When we do an activity, it becomes a time pass. But when the Lord does an activity, it becomes the pastime. That's the difference. Why does the Lord is Atmaram? He is satisfied with everything that he has got. He doesn't need to work. But why does the Lord come and still do something in the material world as well as in the spiritual world? There is only one reason, absolutely only one reason. And that is for bliss. That is for happiness. Happiness, his happiness goes up. because it's Atma Rama, still it's incremental, and more so to enjoy, you know, the rasa with the devotees. But when we do an activity, you know, if it's not in Krishna consciousness, then of course that any activity that we do is for a purpose of fulfilling a particular desire. And when the desire is fulfilled, that creates more desires, and therefore we end up doing more activities. And those activities create more desires, and then we end up doing more activities. And this is called karma bandhan. You know, this is called cyclical effect of karma and fulfillment of desires. So that binds us. And these activities which we do for our personal desires are binding and not satisfying. Binding and not satisfying. There is no happiness out of it. Whereas conversely, as I already said, the activities that the Lord does, which is pastimes of the Lord, are not binding, neither they are boring, they are enlivening, they are blissful. They lead to happiness to the devotees as well as everybody who is engaged in that activity. So therefore, when we do activities that are devotional service, because we are now associating and partaking into the pastimes of the Lord, even when we are saving Him in Melbourne, when we are saving Him, we are taking part in the pastimes of the Lord, therefore the happiness starts coming out of that activity. But if the activity is not devotional service, you and I know this through experience, that activity is not satisfying. It just creates more and more bondage and dissatisfaction, if anything. So, how does this happen? Why is that when we partake in the activities that are devotional service and not in those activities that are anti-devotional service or non-devotional service, both of them are dissatisfying, anti-devotional service and non-devotional service. But the devotional service is satisfying, it is relishing, it is a rasa. Why? Because today is Jhulan Yatra, so I just want to draw some parallel to Jhulan Yatra, so after I'll speak of this. It's because if we know that the Lord has got unlimited energies. The Lord has got unlimited energies, and each of those energies work as per the desire of the Lord. When the Lord desires something, those energies just come into the picture and fulfill the desire of the Lord. So, for example, if the Lord wants to have gulab jamun, for example, or rasgulla, He doesn't have to go into the kitchen, and all those things and buy ingredients and all those things. Just because He desires, the energies will work and they will do gulab jamun. Just because the Lord wants to desire to create the material world, He'll just think and glance at Pradhan and Mahatattva and agitate, and the material world gets created, And that too He's sleeping. We have to create something by walking or at least being awake. The Lord creates everything even when He's sleeping. How many of us can create something when we are actually sleeping? Standing and talking we can, maybe, if possible. But by sleeping, not possible for any human being. But the Lord creates the entire creation when He's actually sleeping. Sote, Hindi may be said. So like that. So, the Lord desires, His energy works and it gets created. But when we desire, we have to put tons of effort into it to even get one gulab jamun, if we are lucky, if we are on time. So, having said that, there is one energy of the Lord, out of the unlimited energy that He has got, there is one energy of the Lord that kind of does not work under the subjugation of the Lord. If anything, the Lord works under the subjugation of that particular energy. And that energy is called Aladini Shakti. Aladini Shakti. What does Aladini Shakti mean? And that is, as we know, the personification of that is Srimati Radharani. Aladini means the pleasure potency of the Lord. So the Lord is so attracted to this particular energy of His that actually He subjugates Himself to Srimati Radharani and saves, and His Atma Ram is all blissful, but He gets more bliss when He is subjugated to Srimati Radharani. That energy is called Ladini Shakti. And that Ladini Shakti is what also gives us pleasure when we partake in the pastimes of the Lord. So Srimati Radharani is bhakti personified. So when we help her save Lord Krishna, or when we help, when we save her and save Lord Krishna, she starts getting that, bestowing those messy drops of nectar on us, enjoying that Aladini Shakti. And that is why we sing this daily, Namaste Narasimhaya Prahladanad Daine. So Prahladanad Daine. Prahlad. What does Prahlad mean? Prahlad means Ahlad, as we said. coming again from Ahladini Shakti, from the pleasure potential of the Lord. So Ahlad means pleasure. And Prahlad Maharaj is full of pleasure because he is a pure devotee of the Lord. And Prahlad means his pleasure condensed. It's like he's just saturated with pleasure, so much pleasure, so much bliss in Krishna consciousness that nothing can penetrate him. If you throw him from the mountain, if you put him in the oil, you know, if an elephant, you know, runs over him, there is no disturbance or distress at all because he's saturated with pleasure, like a metal. If you put a sponge and you put it in water, the sponge will soak the entire water. But if you put a metal bar in water, the water will not penetrate the metal. Why? Because the metal molecules are so condensed that the water cannot penetrate. So Prahlad means that personality that is so concentrated with the molecule of bliss that no pain can concentrate it, can permeate it. So that's Prahlad. But that Prahlad Maharaj, which is pleasure condensed and saturated, is Prahlad Ahlad Dahine. So Prahlad is again pleasure. So for that Prahlad, somebody comes to give him pleasure. And who is that? Narasimha Dev. Namaste Narasimhaya, Prahlad Ahlad Dahini. So even to that Narasimha, Narasimha Dev gives him pleasure. So there is just, the point is, there is so much pleasure in Krishna consciousness, in the pastimes of the Lord, such as, you know, the Jhulan Yatra, Chris Janmasmi, Balram Purnima, everything is coming now, you know, one by one. You know, so even if we are partaking in these activities offline, you know, from our home, doing little, you know, Jhulan Yatra and Chris Janmasmi at home, or, you know, observing them, you know, on our YouTube and whatever, you know, Zoom and Teams and whatever, online, there is still that pleasure that can be, you know, released in them. So rather than being isolated and thinking, you know, oh my God, you know, I can't go to the temple, you know, everything is closed, etc., etc. The pleasure is there. The pleasure, the beauty in Krishna consciousness is that the pleasure is in the service. We don't need pleasure in anything else. When we do a service, which is partaking ourselves in the pastimes of the Lord, we can extract pleasure. The Lord gives us that nectar of devotion and nectar of bliss now in the quantity as we surrender. So during this particular time of, you know, isolation and whatever else, you know, working from home and not working and whatever, Krishna consciousness is, you know, always there for us. That's the beauty, that we always can tap into the beauty, into the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Now, everything else in the material world is temporary. No, there's only three things. There is eternal, there is permanent, to our permanent account. No? And those three things are the three V's. Bhagavan, Bhakt and Bhakti. The three V's. Bhagavan, Bhakt and Bhakti. This is the only three things that is permanent. Everything else is temporary. So Bhagavan is always there. Bhakti is there for us to, you know, to take on and become a devotee. If we can do these three things, then in reference to the verse for today, what janma we have taken, what type of birth we have taken, what type of activities we are doing, what type of lifespan we have is all irrelevant. Bhakti is not dependent on anything material. Bhakti is absolutely not dependent on anything material. Anybody, at any place, at any time, can take up Krishna consciousness. All we need to do is give up our false ego and, you know, and take guidance from a devotee and surrender to a spiritual master. And we can tap into the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So last message, take away home. Message, time. Time is very important. Time is energy of Krishna. Krishna says, Kalaosmi, I am time. So every moment should be utilized in Krishna consciousness. One moment lost cannot come back, even if we have got tons of gold to buy that moment back. So that is the value of time. We use our, every time should be Krishna consciousness time. Krishna time. Yeah, from now on. Okay, thank you very much. I will stop here. Any questions, comments, clarifications, corrections? Additions? If not, then I will stop here. Krishna Bhagavatam ki, Krishna Bhagavatam ki.